Regen die Stirn so verde, wäre das Marschierspät
beinahe. We're back with more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Yiddish is the language that brought us, among other words, the words schlep,
carry, or kvetch,
complain,
and nosh,
or eat.
It's only spoken in limited communities today, but for nearly 1,000 years, Yiddish was the primary language of Ashkenazi Jews all over Europe, until the Holocaust.
Millions of Jews perished in the Holocaust, not just in Poland or Germany, but also in Soviet lands, including Central Asia and the Soviet Ukraine. Many other Jews became refugees, and it turns out some of these victims and survivors wrote songs about their experiences in Yiddish.
Anna Sternsis is a professor and historian at the Institute for Yiddish Studies at the University of Toronto. She had been researching Soviet Jews of the mid-20th century when she discovered a treasure trove of 150 formerly hidden Yiddish songs that were being held at the Kiev National Library. She teamed up with singer-songwriter Pavel Lyon, also known as Psoy Korolenko, to present a concert and lecture series. It's called Last Yiddish Heroes, Lost and Found Songs of Soviet Jews During World War II. They'll perform it tonight at UWM's Recital Hall.
Sternschiss recently spoke with Lake Effect's Mayan Silver and explained how she discovered the songs.
I started with my dissertation, which I wrote almost 15 years ago, on Soviet Jewish culture. I was interested in how Soviet Jews became who they became, the most secular, the most assimilated and integrated group of Soviet citizens. And I was interested in looking into what kind of Yiddish culture they created when they lived in a country ruled by Joseph Stalin. And my first book is about that, is about the Yiddish culture, which incorporated Soviet ideas and ideas of free society and justice and communism into itself. And when I was working on that project, I came across a large chunk of documents in the manuscript department of Kiev National Library, which had the collection of Yiddish songs and stories recorded during World War II. And that was a total shock to me because the historians and cultural historians knew that during World War II, Soviet Jews largely did not speak Yiddish. Instead, those of them who survived the war switched to Russian. But those songs documented how Soviet Jews made sense of World War II during World War II. And the material was simply astonishing in how original it was. And it did not look like anything that we knew that already existed from the Holocaust music, nothing like the music from Warsaw Ghetto, nothing like the music from Vilna Ghetto, either European ghettos. This was Soviet Yiddish music, which encouraged Jews to fight against Hitler, and which also documented how Jews were actually killed in the Soviet Union. Some of the first witnesses of killing came to us in form of songs. So this is how this project began.
What did you uncover when you found this trove of documents?
So most of this stuff was handwritten documents in Yiddish. They were recorded by a group of ethnomusicologists who work for the Kiev Institute for Jewish Proletarian Culture. One of them was Moisey Berigovsky, an important Jewish ethnomusicologist. So they wanted to collect all these documents and to compile them in a book on Jewish creativity during World War II, but they never finished this project because Berigovsky and his colleagues were arrested by Stalin in 1948 when the war was over. So what we have are the field documents, something that was written by hand. Sometimes the first drafts of the songs were typed, and this is the most important part, most of the songs did not have any tunes attached to them. Some of them had very, very basic tunes, but the majority of them did not have tunes because the work was not finished. They didn't finish putting all that together. And that's how our work with Psoy Korolenko began, because we needed to imagine what these tunes were like.
Yes. So Psoy, Anna calls you up and says, look, I found this, set of songs, probably about 150 songs from Soviet Jews during and after World War II. And What kind of background did you have that led you to, that led her to call you, essentially?
I had been already fascinated by Yiddish language and by Yiddish popular culture, and specifically Soviet Yiddish culture. For example, I was part of the project which klezmerized famous Soviet popular songs, including some songs of World War II times, and some later songs, which are classics and default education for any Soviet brought up person. They had been performed in Yiddish translation. So together with many klezmer musicians, we not only sang these songs in Yiddish, but also klezmerized them, so musically translated them. So I felt very open to conceptual work with Yiddish material, to reimagining it, rethinking it. And this idea of creating melodical solutions, reconstructing the tunes to which the simple, typical agent of Yiddish culture in Soviet Union, in Soviet Russia, in Soviet Ukraine would sing these songs during the war, it felt extremely inspiring and uplifting. And I started to work with this material with great enthusiasm.
First of all, for both of you, why was it so important to set these lyrics to music? I mean, why was that essential?
The major idea behind this project is to give voices to people who either were killed during World War II, of 6 million Jews who were killed during the Holocaust, 2.7 million were killed in the Soviet Union. And a lot of the songs were written by the victims, not survivors of the Holocaust. And, you know, there were 500,000 Jews in the Red Army. There were about 1.5 million Jews in Soviet Central Asia. And those are the people whose voices we never hear when we talk about the World War II or Holocaust. And what we wanted to do is that we wanted to create a project that will allow these materials to be what they were supposed to be music, as opposed to be a subject of academic research. At the same time, we also wanted to honor the scholars who spent years of their lives collecting these materials and who were never rewarded for this groundbreaking work, because all of them, as I mentioned, were arrested after the war was over. And Berezovsky and his family, for example, believed that all these materials, this whole archive, was lost forever. They thought Stalin destroyed it or the secret police destroyed it. And when it was found, it was an accident. So this material was too good to be kept in the ivory tower of academia. It had to be brought to the public as music, as art.
And so where did you draw from to put the tunes together?
Actually, I was combining three approaches. Some songs clearly suggested a particular Yiddish or Soviet song to which apparently the song was sang. It was clear because of some particular lines in the songs which were direct quotations. In this case, suggesting a melody was like finding a family member, a close relative. In some other cases, we had to conditionally reconstruct the tune. So think about to what kind of tune it could be sung. And I found such melodies among popular Jewish and/or Soviet songs, sometimes combining two or more melodies, as typically an implied singer, popular singer, amateur singer would do intuitively. So this is what I call conditional reconstruction, or it can be compared with finding a distant relative. And in some rare cases, we suggested anachronistic solutions, taking melodies from contemporary songs, for example, from 1970s, or from very old songs, such as from 19th century, but they were really very much in the spirit of the lyrics. This is what I compare to a shidduch, to a matchmaking.
Yeah, nice. Well, it's kind of like sampling, you know, that people do in hip hop, or remixing like in electronic music, except this is Yiddish and you're doing it all based on the words and the lyrics and the poetry, right?
Right. And also based on our imagination of the cultural atmosphere of the time, a lot of the songs, and we know this from the notes, was sang to Soviet tunes, not to necessarily to Yiddish tunes. And also, a lot of the songs were sang to Cossack tunes. Cossacks, you know, known for, I don't know, its biggest enemies of Jews through history. But surprisingly to us, so many of these songs were sung to those Cossacks, Russian tunes. So we had to work with all that information, but also in a kind of an imaginative way, think about what will this, even if we didn't get the tune exactly right, exactly how they sang it, what would they think of the tune that Psoy selected now, had they listened to it? So it was important for us to think about, would they have liked it or not? And very often when we were able to perform this material for the, say, Holocaust survivors or war veterans, people who were around during this time, they all really appreciated this project because they say, well, this is how our music sounded then, which was very, very rewarding to hear.
Anna, you've said that these songs, you said in a previous interview that these songs tell a story of Jewish resistance and survival in the Soviet Union. They represent, right, on so many levels, the foundation of contemporary Russian Jewish culture. Can you describe how they do that?
You know, we have a very large Russian-speaking Jewish diaspora today. About 500,000 Russian-speaking Jews live in the United States today, about 1 million in Israel. And they developed this Russian-Jewish culture, which is distinctly different from, say, American Jewish culture, broadly defined, or even Israeli culture. And one of the important pillars of that culture is that they remember, they want to honor and celebrate the Jewish participation in the Red Army during World War II. Instead of seeing their grandparents or great-grandparents as just soldiers in the Red Army, they say, well, these are the people who saved Jews from the Holocaust, those who were saved. So that story is becoming a heritage story for that community. And because the majority of Russian Jews today live outside of Russia, we only have about 200,000 Jews left in Russia, that is also the story, one of the stories of American Jewish heritage, Canadian Jewish heritage, or wherever Russian-speaking Jews live. And that's why this project is providing the information, providing the foundation for this kind of identity and culture, and perhaps the future of the Russian-speaking Jewish community.
People listen to these songs. They may not come from a Russian background. They may not know any Holocaust survivors. They may not even be Jewish. What would you like those people to connect with in this music?
The songs have a very compelling history, the archive itself. We think about every single individual who wrote the song. They were going through perhaps the most difficult part of their life, and yet so much of the material has humor. And they're laughing at Hitler, they're laughing at the German army, they're laughing at themselves even a little. And this idea that in order to fight something, you have to laugh at it, that's the idea that does not require to have a Jewish or Yiddish or Soviet background. That's the idea that we all can relate to. That's one of the aspects of this project which we too find quite fascinating. The other thing is, so many of these songs are stories of love. Love between people who are separated by the war, love between husbands and wives, love of to their children, and children to their parents. The stories of violence that are heartbreaking and, of course, universally tragic. These are the stories that give us a chance to imagine people who lived in the middle of the 20th century as people, and hear their voices, and to, you know, relate to our past, to everybody's past, as something that turned us into who we are. And that part of the project is universal.
Well, and of course, you know, Yiddish is a very special language. Music is a universal language. And Psoy Korolenko and Anna, thank you so much for speaking to us about the project, and thank you for doing the project.
Thank you so much for having us.
Anna Sternschütz is a professor and historian at the Institute for Yiddish Studies at the University of Toronto. She and Pavel Lyon, also known as Psoy Korolenko, will perform their show, Last Yiddish Heroes, Lost and Found Songs of Soviet Jews During World War II, tonight at 7 at UWM's Music Building. There's more information at WUWM.com.
Papier. Ot ihr alle sich hat Ziel gestellt, mich abzumecken von der Welt. Nor nicht an euch, es ist gefällt. Stalin wird schon kurz und neigt die Hände.